A quarter of New Zealand households, equating to three quarters of renting households, depend on government support to afford housing, highlighting what experts say is a pressing need for a more cohesive national housing strategy. Joining us to record it all down that lane is Isaac Gunson, who's the campaign and comms manager for Child Poverty Action Group. Isaac, thank you very much for joining us on our program today called Day O Tēnei. A warm welcome. Tēnā koe.
More than a Dale. Really good to be with you.
Thanks, mate. Okay, well, obviously, what do these figures do you suggest, Isaac, reveal about the current state of housing affordability and stability for whānau in New Zealand?
Yeah, look, this should be setting off alarm bells in the beehive. The fact that so many New Zealanders, and particularly people who are renting, this is disproportionately borne by, the fact that this many households can't meet their housing costs from their income alone, I think that reveals just how unstable housing is, not just, you know, in Aotearoa and New Zealand, but very specifically for our tamariki.
It's difficult everywhere we look. And, of course, with the impending rise on petrol prices, it's going to exacerbate the problem that many are already facing, hitting the checkouts and you know, finding the hundi just doesn't go anywhere near as far as it used to. Which groups do you think are most affected by this reliance on government housing support, Isaac?
Yeah, look, well, we know particularly in this case that it is renters. And then if you sort of, I think it's about 565,000 renting households in the country and are seeking this support. And of them, I believe it's around 25,000 who are homeowners claiming the accommodation supplement. So let's be very clear, the vast majority is people who are renting. But as you know, as we sort of know, and I probably don't have to tell your listeners this, these numbers always featured disproportionately high representation of people of Māori descent, people of Pacifica descent, and people who have disabilities. And very, very often, you know, these are people who are living, children in particular, who are living with the daily stress of rising rents, insecure housing, and the fear of eviction. And what we are saying at Child Poverty Action Group, and have, and this group has been saying it since 1994, every child deserves a warm, dry, secure home, but the scale of that need has long outstripped the supply. Thousands of whānau across Aotearoa need affordable, high-quality housing, and they needed it years ago.
Yeah, the term affordable's a bit of a throwaway line, really. What's affordable to some is way from being affordable to others. Can we talk about the emotional impact of such duress, constant financial, unsure about the future, rising costs? I mean, it must take a strain on one's mental health, and it's sometimes not an issue that we raise. We talk about material hardship, etc., and child poverty, but scant mention about the emotional or mental health impacts of just constantly living on Struggle Street, Isaac.
Yeah, and I think what doesn't help then is then when you have the revelation earlier this year from the Ministry of Social Development that the number of people sanctioned in the March 2025 quarter is double the number of people who were sanctioned for missing meetings during the same quarter the year earlier. And yeah, you're absolutely right when you talk about sort of that mental health effect. You know, these are people who are trying their hardest, doing their best. People who are making ends meet, and it's a lot harder to put them together than it is for a lot of people. And so when that's the case, you know, I would simply remind the government that people on benefits are first and foremost people too. And I don't think that in a time period like that, you know, it's highly unlikely that twice as many people started missing their meetings for what is their only source of income. What I think is more likely is that the Ministry of Social Development's become quicker to cut people off, despite the very real barriers that many face in attending, whether it's travel costs, whether it's childcare costs. you know, we've sort of, you know, it's been twice this year. I was watching One News at Six last night, and we were told to brace for a hit in our KiwiSavers. Well, this is, you know, the second time this year that we've been warned as a result of major geopolitical developments that we need to be looking out for that. And some people don't even have the luxury of being able to constantly make these contributions to the KiwiSaver. So it's very stressful, and it's only exacerbating the problem.
Thank you, Isaac. What specific actions should the government take to reduce this dependence and ensure secure, affordable housing for vulnerable households? We can raise the issue. Look, it doesn't take a rocket science to see the rising prices and the virtually stagnant income levels that many are forced to live under. So, what specifically should we be as a nation or as communities demanding of the government?
Yeah. Well, look, it doesn't take a rocket science to answer that either. Like, these basic needs that aren't being met, they're not niche, they're not new. Every serious expert in the field could list them in their sleep. So it is incomes. Children live in families. If those families don't have enough, neither do the tamariki. And if you sanction an adult on a benefit, you are indirectly sanctioning that child. The second one is housing. Safe, affordable renters are, you know, hard to find. Housing insecurity takes every problem that someone experiencing poverty is experiencing, and it just makes all of those problems harder. Number three, food. So we know that more than a quarter of children are experiencing food running out at home sometimes or often. That's a statistic that should haunt us, and it's a statistic that, like I said at the beginning of the interview, should be setting off alarm bells at the Beehive. And the last is healthcare. Too many tamariki are being hospitalised for conditions that, you know, we as a society know how to prevent. So those are really the four steps that we're calling on the government to ensure that tamariki and Aotearoa get to grow up with their eye focused on the future and to have a really good shot at that future.
Tēnā koe, Isaac. Thank you very much for sharing some thoughts and time with us on the program. Obviously, our tamariki are our tomorrow, so we can't do too much for them. And about time that some down in the big house recognised that fact. Māori ora kia koe, thanks for your thoughts. Ngā mihi.
Kia ora.
Tēnā koe, and thank you.